Could we read a couple of scriptures, firstly in the Gospel according to John in chapter 3. John chapter 3 and verse 14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, thus must the Son of Man be lifted up, that everyone who believes on him may not perish, but have life eternal. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes on him may not perish, but have life eternal. For God has not sent his Son into the world that he may judge the world, but that the world may be saved through him. And then just another scripture in the Epistle to the Ephesians. The Epistle to the Ephesians in chapter 2 and verse 12. You were at that time without Christ, aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have become nigh by the blood of the Christ. For he is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of enclosure, having annulled the enmity in his flesh, the law of commandments and ordinances, that he might form the two into himself into one new man, making peace, and might reconcile both in one body to God by the cross. Given that today is Easter Sunday, a lot of people around the world will be thinking about the cross, including maybe some who don't usually. It seems to be quite a big concern, making the newspapers. It was interesting to see there are some, I think out in the Philippines, actually replaying the crucifixion. And some closer to home not replaying it because of health and safety. And I'm just really reflecting a little bit on what the cross does mean for us. Because really, behind the story, it's why it was in the first place. And just a couple of basic scriptures. Just thinking a little bit around what happened, because as we sung in our hymn, God could not pass the sinner by, justice demands that he should die, but in the cross of Christ we see how God can save yet righteous be. And in many ways that's a pretty much a summation of really putting the cross into perspective. It comes from a background that I didn't read in its entirety. A background where we're far from God. Let us never forget this is the God who made the world and everything in it, who sets that which is in order, who made the rules of nature which we observe, who made the laws of physics that we move in accordance with, who gave us, if you like, the moral law, the way one should behave. This is the God who one might say has led the way, given a standard, one view of definitively what is right. One view and only one view. And we read also, man was created in the image of God. We owe our everything to him. We owe in our very being. But yet, with sin in us and around us that we well know, we were far from God. And that's something we should always remember, that we were far from God. And those who have not come by the cross are still far from God. Far from what the definition of good and perfect is, with no hope of attaining it. Because that's another thing we learn as we go through the Bible, that there are many who try to approach God through one way or another. But the word on that, as we're reading this afternoon, when Jesus says, "I am the door," the one way of entry in. Because God could not have us in his presence after the corruption of sin came in. That sin, that willfulness is within us. But yet, he provided a way. As the hymn alluded to, how God can save yet righteous be. He couldn't righteously forget our sin. He couldn't say that you're forgiven. The only way that that could be done was if the price was paid in full. And that brings me on to the scripture in John. Because that's looking on to what was to be. Speaks of Jesus being lifted up upon the cross. Referring back to an older illustration from the Old Testament, which in itself was looking on to this. Talking about when Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. The children of Israel had been disobedient, and snakes were sent in among them for punishment, and the children of Israel were dying by the bites of the snakes. But Moses received a word from God. It says, "Make a serpent of bronze, raise it up in the camp. Everyone that looks to it will be healed." And so it was. In type, looking on to when the Lord Jesus would be raised. By making a serpent of bronze, making it in the image of that which was besieging them at the time. Speaking of how the Lord Jesus, when he was lifted up, something horrific happened to him. Beyond the agonies of the cross, the physical, we can in some ways imagine those. What it would have felt to be nailed to a piece of wood and lifted up. We can't fully imagine, but we can at least have some concept of it. But this is talking of something far deeper. The Lord Jesus was perfect. There are many who struggle with this concept. From when we were reading earlier in the Gospel according to John. But right the way through to this day, how can a man be perfect? How can a man be son of God? There are lots and lots of those who struggle with this. But we have it recorded for us in the Gospels. How God's Son took on a human form. Showed what man should have been. And was always perfect. We have it recorded for us. The only man of whom God ever said, "This is whom I'm well pleased." He was never touched by sin. But yet, coming to this, when he was lifted up, at that point he was made sin. And that's something we cannot really understand. We have sin in ourselves, constantly, day by day. He had never had any of that corruption on him. But yet, on the cross, he was made sin. Our sin was put upon him. Let us never forget that. And there was a conflict with his holy nature. It was terrible to him. We have recorded for us in the garden beforehand how much it meant for him to take this upon himself and be rejected by his God and Father when he took what was ours upon him. When he gave to God the penalty for our sin. But the view, what was beyond this? This was why he went, and we have recorded for us that he was always looking on to this. He knew the way he was going, but he also knew what was after, knew what the result would be, if you like. The result being that everyone who believes on him may not perish but have life eternal. This was the whole reason that we, as helpless before God, should be brought into the presence of God in blessing. This is one of the mysteries of God, that he is holy and eternal. He is so far above us we can't really imagine. But he cares for us. He wants to bless us. When he made Adam, put him in the garden, he wanted him to be in the very best. And even today, that's still how God would like to be with you, would like to give you the best. But now, the only way is to come back through, to be relieved of the stain of sin, to come back through by the cross of Christ. In by the door, as we had earlier. Christ is the door. There are those who go around the sides and climb the walls. But there is no salvation, no peace in that. Nothing that at the end God will take account of. We're reminded in what we read that God has not sent his Son into the world that he may judge the world, but that the world may be saved through him. We're reminded through the life of Jesus how he always had the authority to judge, but never did. For if he had, we would not have been able to answer, and we would all have been eternally condemned. But let us never forget that there will be a day when this judgment does come, and then, standing before God, all we can plead is the cross of Christ. That is the only thing in the sight of God that gives us any lasting peace. I just read a little bit in Ephesians 2, just really thinking of the peace that comes from this, how we can have peace with God. And it also speaks of him as breaking down the middle wall of enclosure. And also, where does it say? And it's also a pretty accurate summation of how we were. I mean, here he was talking about the Gentiles, but it just generally applies to mankind, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, everything is in him. And it's the same law for everybody, the same way for everybody, the same peace, the same forgiveness for everybody, just coming through, accepting the word of the Lord Jesus, trusting in his shed blood that speaks for us before God. And let us never forget too that he who died on that cross, he who took our entire judgment, he was raised, and he is available today to reach out to, to speak to confess to. No one on this world can do anything about your confessions, but you can speak to him. He is alive
and available to each one of us now.
And that too is the beauty of the gospel. He is there. He is always there. Available for each one of us. And he wants us to come into that which God has put aside for us at the very best. Well, may we all just appreciate this and continue to appreciate it more as we have more experience with him. And let us, as we continue to go on and remember him who died and how he died for us, just always be conscious of the reasons why. It's not just a ritual or a reenactment. It's something that actually happened once and for all, and happened for us if we just lay hold of it. May we all just have peace with God as through knowing the Lord Jesus Christ, for his name's sake. Amen.